Let me say amen to the song. I want to thank all those that have participated in worship service on this afternoon and even on this morning. I want to thank them again for your service. I want to thank you for choosing to be with us on this afternoon to hear another portion of God's Word. We're in Matthew chapter 16. If you heard the scripture that was read in your hearing, verses 17 through 19. And we want to speak from the subject where the Lord told Peter, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." In verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So I want to, before we look at Peter, I want to establish the fact that the same thing that Jesus gave the keys to Peter, he also said in verse number 18, "I will build my church." And so the word "build" here means, has reference to building a house, and I'll show you from the Word of God the connection of all of these. We said this morning the word "church," ecclesia, meant a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world, which Christ rules as head. So the word "church" has to do with those that are called out from the world into something. And again, the word "church" is simply a descriptive phrase. There are other descriptive phrases that is used in the Word of God. When the Lord says in verse 19 that which he was going to build, he was going to give Peter the keys to. And the word "keys" here means the means of gaining entrance into something. And I'll show you that from the Word of God, that Peter was the one that opened the door for others to enter into that which he built, which was the church. Now, when you see the word "kingdom of heaven," kingdom gives attention to the governmental characteristics of the Lord's church, meaning there is organization in the Lord's church. We find that when the church is fully organized, we said that this morning, and that's our desire at Harlem Heights, that we are fully organized. That's the governmental aspect of the church. And being fully organized, you have elders, you have deacons, you have the minister. That's a fully organized church, along with those that are members. But we find in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, you'll see the word mentioned in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and the verse is number 27 we'll begin with. Now, Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Now ye are," notice, "the body of Christ." Descriptive phrase, the body of Christ, with Christ being the head and members in particular. "And God has set some in the church. First, there was the apostles." He said, secondarily, there were prophets. Thirdly, there were teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongue. So all that has to do with the organizational structure of the Lord's church. But you find also not only is the Lord's church descriptively phrased as the church and the kingdom, there are other phrases. In 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, and the verse Paul wrote to them in verse number 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Verse 15, 1 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 15. Paul said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So again, you see a descriptive phrase. God now, Paul was talking about the family structure of the church when he said it is the house of God. So that which was built, the church, is also referred to as the house of God. And then we find in Hebrews chapter 3, just showing you have various descriptive phrases for the Lord's house, the church. In Hebrews chapter number 3, and the verse is number 6, the Bible reads, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope of the hope firm until the end. So Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we? What are we? We are the church. So the word church and the word house can be used interchangeably. The word kingdom and the word church can be used interchangeably. It's simply speaking from different aspects of the same thing. Church has to do with those that are called out of the world. However, we also are house. We are family. We are family. The Bible shares that. As Paul said in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So there are many descriptive phrases used talking about the very same thing. And so Peter was commissioned by Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to give the keys to the kingdom or allow people to gain entrance into that. Let's look at that from Acts chapter number 2. Acts, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 2, and let's just see where the Lord says, and I shall give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. But Peter had the keys. In Acts chapter 2, we find at verse number 5, the Bible says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So that shows the aspect of the miracle that happened on that day, that men that have not been able to talk was able to speak languages for which they had not learned. But we also find that in verse 14, where Peter was given the key, the Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And so Peter stood up and delivered the first gospel sermon after the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse number 22, the Bible says when Peter delivered the first gospel sermon, note what he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him. Talking about Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So what Peter shared with them, this Jesus of Nazareth, who was approved by God, and he was approved by God by the things that he did. He did miracles, wonders, and signs. And Peter told him, he did it in the middle of you, and you know this. This man was delivered by a determinant counsel. However, the Bible says, and the foreknowledge of God. God knew this. You taken him, and your hands were wicked. You crucified, and you slain or murdered Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden to it. That is the gospel indeed. It identifies two aspects of the three pieces of the gospel. It talks about how they slain him, murdered him, and how he raised up. It just does not mention him being buried as it does in other verses of scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans chapter 6, where it talks about him being buried, and we need to be buried with Christ. And so we see here that Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and then the Bible tells us in verse number 36, the Bible says, Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified. He is not only your Lord, but he's also your Christ or your Savior. He is the one that's in authority. He's also the one by whom you're going to be saved. And the Bible says, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This morning, we spoke to the church, those that were members thereof. This afternoon, we want to put emphasis on how one become a member of. We're talking to those that may not be members. So we see here that they heard the gospel, and it's obvious they believed it because the Bible says they was pricked in their hearts. And so then they asked Peter, what shall we do? We have heard this gospel. We believe the gospel. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, well, you need, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so Peter said to them that you have heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized. Now, along with that, in Matthew chapter 10, what you don't see in that verse of scripture is what Christ said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." So confession is necessary, because we find in Acts chapter number 8, when the eunuch desired to be baptized, in Acts 8:36, the Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession must be made prior to one being baptized. And the Bible says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So we find that the person back in Acts chapter 2, they were commanded to repent and be baptized. And the purpose for baptism is for the remission of all your past sins. That's what it's for. It's for the word remission means the forgiveness. God forgives you due to your obedience to God. In baptism, God then adds you, as the Bible says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So in verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized." So a person must be water baptized, and the Bible says, "In the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So that was the commission that was given to Peter by Christ to open up the door to those to be added to the apostles. They were first in the church, and others then were added based on their obedience to the gospel plan of salvation that God had given them. And then we find that, as I move to a close, in Romans chapter number 6, where the Bible says, verse number 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Right now, friend, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, you are in your sin. And the Bible says, God forbid that God's grace would not continue. God forbid. How shall we? Paul reminded them that are, noted, dead to sin, live any longer therein. Christ died for sin. We must die to sin. Then he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Once you are water baptized for the remission of your sin, confess Christ. You've heard the gospel. You believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Water baptized. The Lord adds you to the church. Now you shall walk in a newness of life. Now you're in the church. You're no longer in the world. You're in the church. You're in the house of God. You're in the family of God. You are in the kingdom of God. There's someone today on the call, and you would like to obey the Lord, reach out to us. Have the person that invited you to reach out to us. God, through Christ, teaching Peter, gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. He opened the door for those that were Jews. Acts chapter 2, he did similar to Cornelius and first Gentile added to the Lord. In Acts chapter 10, I thank you very much for your listening on this afternoon. I thank you very much.